Coming up on today's episode, Disney news, including changes to Remy's Ratatouille Adventures queuing system in Epcot, and Disney legend Betty White has passed away. All that and more, plus our featured film discussion on Hawkeye, on today's Plus or Bust. Welcome to episode 63 of Plus or Bust, a Disney podcast, where each week we watch a random movie on Disney Plus and decide whether we would recommend it a plus or not a bust. My name is Matt, and joining me today are my co-hosts, my wife Carissa.
Present.
And my brother Brady.
Hello.
Not joining us today, my sister Nikki. Last forever. Because she's not here. She has been,
Fine, she didn't watch it anyway.
Yeah, she didn't watch Hawkeye anyway. She's busy. She's got things to do. So, we're going on without her because she told us to. Mostly because she didn't want to watch Hawkeye, I guess. At least that's what I think, anyway.
I think that's what it was, too.
She's also, you know, not here, but...
Yeah, she's not in town. She's going to the snow. She's going to go see the snow. That'll be fun.
With our daughter.
Yeah, with our daughter. But not us. Weird. She'll have fun.
I didn't know your daughter went.
She did. We couldn't deprive her of snow. Nana was willing to take her, so
yeah,
she went.
Yeah, she's literally been asking for, like, 2 years.
Oh, all right then.
But my plan was to do it where we could all go, but...
That didn't work out.
That didn't work out, obviously, because Matt has days off in the middle of the week. So.
Yeah.
And we'll continue to have days off in the middle of the week.
Until you have Thursday, Friday off.
Well, that's the middle of the week still.
Oh, well, I mean, but that's
better.
Friday's the weekend.
I guess.
Could have good days off like me. Haha.
What are your days off? Monday?
Sunday, Monday.
See, the only reason...
See, that is good. I would love that.
The only reason that... Like, I don't mind not having the weekends off. The only reason...
We don't care, but...
I would have loved to have Sunday off just because I want to... I like going to the flea market, and I would like to go to the flea market.
Oh my god, that's such a lame, stupid reason.
It's not.
The one day that you could have, that Saturday that we could have gone to the flea market, you were like, no, no.
It was too late.
It was a little late.
It was too late. We would have got there and there would have been nothing left.
Yeah, that's true.
Would have been nothing Saturday left. Flea market sucks anyway.
She's talking about the one in San Jose.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
It's bigger.
The point is, that's a dumb reason to want Sunday, Monday
it
off.
It was fun. When I went with your dad not that long ago, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
About some video games? That's it. That's the only reason I want to go. Look for video games and twice. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. What a loser.
There you go.
What a loser.
That's why I go.
Yeah.
Add some tools in there and I'm good.
There's so many tools at the flea market. Not just the people shopping, but I mean the like, people selling tools, like ancient tools from decades ago.
Oh, wow.
Wild. Anyway, we're not talking about the flea market. We are talking about, I'm going to start with the biggest news story of the week. It is also my gripe. Figment. Popcorn bucket.
Oh, God.
Epcot, International Festival of the Arts. They're getting one. They're getting a Figment popcorn bucket. And it's awesome.
Fuckers.
It's awesome. That itself is not a gripe. The gripe is I will not be able to obtain one because I do not live in Florida and am not and Festival of the Arts is like around the corner, like in a few days. So
I wonder if it would be cheaper to just
go
buy the popcorn bucket on eBay or something.
Yes.
Or to pay for an Uber to get my best friend to the park.
Oh. I forgot you had that.
It would... I guess you would have to look. I imagine... Figment is so fucking popular.
The problem
and
is
popcorn
that,
buckets
like,
are so popular.
Yeah, the problem is that you would literally have to tell him the specific place to buy the popcorn bucket, and you would have to make sure that he got there super early in the morning.
And with him, that's impossible. There's no way.
So maybe eBay is the way to go. They're going to be so expensive on eBay. They're going to be so expensive. Unless the only way that they won't be expensive is if they like really made enough and it is going, like if they sell them throughout the whole period of the festival and even after the festival is over, if you can still get one, then the eBay price won't be too high. But
I'm assuming that that's probably what they did. So the same thing kind of happened with that orange bird sipper.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So it was super popular when it first came out. It was sold out for a few weeks. And then it just showed back up and it was available.
And you can still buy it.
Yeah, and it was just available.
And you can still get one.
It was available the rest of the time. So, like, honestly, Figment is the mascot for Epcot. There's no reason they should just stop selling it once the festival ends. They should just sell it forever, basically. They won't because they don't do that. But theoretically, they could make 6 million of these.
I'm pretty sure you can still get the orange bird sipper.
You probably can.
Yeah, but the sippers are a lot easier to get than the buckets.
Yeah, for some reason, buckets are insane. But
except for in fucking the 60th anniversary when, or 50th when we were there, I couldn't get the sipper. I got the popcorn bucket, but not the sipper.
Which sipper?
The Celebration Mini. They did a mini cup and a Mickey popcorn bucket. I got the Mickey popcorn bucket, but the mini cup never came back.
I don't even know if I know what it looks like.
It's just her standing up in the 50th outfit.
Interesting.
Yeah.
My point is, I like the Figment popcorn bucket, and I wish I could get it, but it's fine. It is what it is. At least they're making a Figment. Save Figment. Mm-hmm. Hashtag save Figment. Mm-hmm. Not in his current state, but just in general. Save Figment. All right, anyway. Moving on from that. We're going to start with the sad one. Get the sad one out of the way first. Legendary actress and Disney legend Betty White has passed away at the age of 99. In a statement released the afternoon of her passing, her agent and friend Jeff Witches said, "Even though Betty was about to be 100, I thought she would live forever. I will miss her terribly, and so will the animal world that she loved so much. I don't think Betty ever feared passing, because she always wanted to be with her most beloved husband, Alan Ludden. She believed she would be with him again."
So sad.
Despite being best known for her roles in the CBS's The Mary Tyler Moore Show and NBC's Golden Girls, which was produced by Disney's Touchstone Television and is why she was inducted a Disney legend, throughout the years she appeared in various Disney productions, from Teacher's Pet to the English dub of Ponyo, and most recently, Toy Story 4 and its spinoff, Forky Asks a Question. In 2009, White was honored with a Disney legend for contributions to the Walt Disney Company in both film and television. It's very sad that Betty White passed away. Betty White kicked ass. There's a story going around about when she had a show. Was it the 50s? In the 50s, she was hosting a show.
She had the black guy.
And she had the black, I think he was a tap dancer or something on there. And the producers did not want it. And she was like, oh, well, fuck off. He's going to be on the show anyway. Betty White rules. And she will be missed. Yeah. People love the Golden Girls. Mm-hmm. Golden Girls is great. I've only seen a few episodes, but, you know.
Great show.
Old horny ladies. That's what that show was about. It was about horny ladies in their 60s and 70s.
Basically.
That's great. Yeah, it was such a shame. It was the last day of 2021. They had to end it. They had to end it with one last thing they took from us.
Yeah.
Betty White. She will be missed. In Toy Story 4 and Forecast Question, she played Bitey White, which was a chew toy, like a child's teether toy. Mm. Very funny. That episode of Forecast Question, very funny. So yeah, Betty White. All right, moving on. The rest of the news is, I mean, a lot of this news is kind of boring, honestly. Sony's Spider-Man universe adjacent Marvel film, Morbius, has been delayed for the 7th time. According to Deadline, while the Columbia Pictures title was previously scheduled to open on January 28th, it will now hit theaters in IMAX and premiere large formats on April 1st.
Jeez.
Deadline hears that one factor motivating the push was Sony's huge continuing success with Spider-Man No Way Home, which has established itself as the highest-grossing film of 2021 upon its December 17th debut. The Tom Holland picture has thus far grossed upwards of $1.37 billion worldwide and now looks to continue to do big business on screens previously saved for Morbius. They are delaying Morbius so that Spider-Man can continue to make money in January.
Wow.
Yep.
Presumably.
But they're pushing all the way back to April.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably just when they had a slot open. Like, there's probably other stuff opening in the meantime. My guess is they think, even though by that point Spider-Man will be almost a month old, they probably just assume nobody wants to see Morbius. They still rather go see Spider-Man instead. I don't care about Morbius. I don't. Fuck Jared Leto. Like, just fuck him. Just fuck him. I don't know why he still has a career. I mean, I like the joke in the trailer where he says he's Venom. I guess that's funny. But I don't know. Brady, you seemed like you were looking forward to Morbius.
I am. But I like all the weird superheroes, villains, whatever, that we don't see very often. Like, I kind of wish he would have been used as an actual Spider-Man villain at some point.
I mean, he still could, depending on how where things go, but I don't know. He's like an anti-hero. It's the same with, like, Venom, where, like, he is a villain, but also sometimes he's not a villain. But, like, they're not letting him be a villain, like, in the movie, because, like, he's the lead of the movie. So it's going to be like Venom, where Venom is never really the villain in the movie. And it's just like, well, I feel like you're kind of wasting these characters by not letting them be villains.
What they're supposed to be. Yeah.
Like, if you want to reform them later, fine, but, like, they should start as villains, right? Loki started as a villain, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird call, I feel like. I assume it's just because of the Marvel deal. They can't really... Marvel's got Spider-Man, so they have to use all the side characters, and most of the side characters are villains. What are you gonna do? So yeah, if you were looking forward to Morbius, it's been delayed for the 7th time. This movie was supposed to come out when? 2020, I think? It was originally supposed to come out. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. 7 times. Speaking of things that have been delayed, the Disney Plus original film Sneakerella has been delayed from its original February 18th release date to May 13th. No official reason has been given why.
Okay.
Yep, that's all I got for you. Just a strange thing. Just randomly delayed a film that was supposed to come out in Black History Month to not Black History Month.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's got to be done, right?
I would assume if they had a release date for it so soon, but yeah. I don't know.
See, so Morbius has had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, this is the 7th date.
Yeah, that's what I said. 7 times.
It was originally set July 10th, 2020. Then it got moved to July 31st. Then it was delayed due to COVID to March 19, 21. Then October 8, 21. January 21, 22. January 28, 22. And now April 1st, 22.
Wow. It's coming out on April Fool's Day. Wouldn't it be funny if they delayed it again?
Probably.
You go to the theater and they're just like, oh no, that was delayed till next week.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right, well, last couple things I got here. There's parks news. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure at Epcot. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure at Epcot will be dropping its virtual queuing system on January 10th, instead moving over to a traditional queuing system. Individual Lightning Lane purchases will still be available for the attraction, and Disney has stated that virtual queues will be utilized for attractions in the future, but once Ratatouille changes over, there will be no virtual queue attractions currently in Walt Disney World. My guess is when they say the future, they mean Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. Utilize a virtual queue system. But that's good. I don't know. It doesn't seem like one that needed it. It's pretty easy to get a virtual queue for Ratatouille.
Yes. Also, thank the fucking God that there are no more virtual queues.
You don't like virtual queues?
I hate them so much.
Well, when Cosmic Rewind
opened... There are no virtual queues in Disneyland anymore either. Right?
Sometimes Spider-Man is on virtual queue.
Sometimes?
Is it?
I haven't heard of it being on virtual queue since... I haven't heard of what's it called being on virtual queue either.
I guess not. So then, yeah, there's none in Disneyland either.
Good. Get rid of them forever. They're the worst. It used to be even worse when we had to get it for Rise for the first time and we actually had to be inside the park. Oh, that was the most stressful day of my life.
It's fine. I got it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, go wait in line for Ratatouille so they can tell you it's a 3-hour wait and to buy a Lightning Lane to skip the line. Go do it. All right, speaking of Lightning Lanes, Space Mountain, Frozen Ever After, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and Expedition Everest, they've moved back to individual Lightning Lane purchases in Walt Disney World. They were only temporarily part of the Genie Plus service for the holidays. My guess is they will do that again probably in spring break, I would guess.
Yeah.
They just need more capacity on Genie Plus to make it worth people's while, and when it's busier... Things run out more or faster, so they got to put stuff on there, which is why they've started adding parades as well. So
what a joke!
Yeah, Genie Plus is a joke. Last thing. For the news, honestly, really last thing. We're going to get through the news in less than 20 minutes. Hong Kong Disneyland has announced that they will be closed for at least 2 weeks to comply with the government orders due to COVID-19.
Oh, wow.
As required by the government and health authorities and in line with prevention efforts taking place across Hong Kong Disneyland Park will temporarily close from January 7th to the 20th, 2022. The resort hotels will remain open with adjusted levels of service. Service at restaurants and recreation facilities and hotels will be adjusted according to the latest regulations. According to Reuters, Hong Kong recorded 38 new coronavirus cases on Wednesday, but only one was a local community transmission, while the rest were people who had returned to the city and tested positive during quarantine. On December 31st, a streak of 3 months without community cases ended with the first local transmission of the Omicron variant.
Crazy.
Yeah. Yep. And with the city, or with LA County changing when large venues have to check for vaccinations. Rumors are Universal Studios might close soon. So we'll see the ramifications of that. Mm-hmm. I get the feeling Disneyland will not close.
Yeah. Over there, dead bodies.
if Anaheim and Orange County decide that, like, hey, you need to start checking vaccines, they'll do it.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that, though.
You don't think so? In Anaheim? No. Why would LA County do it, but not...
Because Orange County people don't...
Give a fuck.
They're different.
How are they different?
They're not like... They are more like... They got more people over there, like... That are against, like, vaccinations and all that stuff. So, I don't think that they'll... I don't think they'll do it in Disneyland. Not to mention, like... God, it's gonna be such a headache. I mean, it would be worth it because by the time you got into the park, there'd be, like, nobody in there. But I don't know. I don't see them doing that at all. They should do it. I think that it's probably it's what the safest thing is. But I think the thing is, too, it's kind of hard because if you don't even have the staff to barely run the place and then you need extra staff to, like, check COVID cards and all that stuff, that makes it even more, like, stressful. So.
Okay. Brady, have you seen the rumor that Kira from Solo, A Star Wars Story, might be getting her own Disney Plus show?
I saw that today. And then I saw something else that it was... There was one that was like her or somebody from Rogue possibly getting their own show. And it's like, which Star Wars spinoff character would you rather see actually get a show? And it's like, I don't really care about either of these characters. I don't even know who any of them are. But I guess... If Kira got a show, I mean, at least they're trying to push Solo somehow, because I haven't heard anything about that movie in so fucking long.
Kira would be better than a character from Rogue One, because all the characters in Rogue One are currently dead. They're dead. I know we're getting an Andor show, but we know where it leads. Death. It leads to death. Kira is alive. Well, presumably.
Yeah.
I guess in... modern Star Wars times, maybe she's dead, but, like, she's alive at the end of that movie.
Yeah.
She's in the service of Darth Maul, so that means that potentially Darth Maul shows up, and everybody loves Darth Maul. Cool. I'm not against it. I like Emilia Clarke. I think she's a good actress. She was given not a lot to do in that movie, because mm-hmm. nobody was really given a lot to do in that movie. But I would be okay with it. If they gave Kira a show, like, if you want to focus on, just focus on characters that you can actually expand, right? Just if that's what you're going to do, that or create new characters like Mandalorian.
Yeah.
We don't need any. I mean, we're getting an Ahsoka show, which, you know, fine. But, like, I don't need, like, a Luke show or anything like that. Yeah, Kira. We'll see if it actually happens. I guess Emilia Clarke, now that she's done with Game of Thrones, she needs... another big budget
something
show.
To do.
She needs another big budget show to pay some bills.
Basically.
Maybe she approached them like, hey, when I signed up for this, I thought we were making a franchise. There was another rumor that I saw. It had something to do with... Oh, Valkyrie might be in the Marvels. Did you see that too?
Oh, that's awesome.
Because, like...
I did not, but I like that because...
Tessa Thompson, right. Like, there was, like, I don't know, rumors suggesting she might be in it.
That's cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. I think that was what I
guess the I saw today that the IMDb listing or something for Thor Love and Thunder has Peter Dinklage returning.
Oh, I saw that as well. I guess that
so we might see Eitri again, which is cool.
I would imagine not a very big role. Well, I mean a big role in that he is very big, but I mean not a big role in that.
Yeah,
it'll probably
be the exact same thing, but instead of him making Stormbreaker for Thor, they're saying that he's probably just going to make the new millionaire for Natalie Portman.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Well,
but who knows?
As long as the CG looks a little bit better than it did. Endgame.
Yeah. Infinity War.
Oh, right. Infinity War. Whatever one it was.
The bad one. Yeah.
No. 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 We don't have time for that. Anyway. Let's move on.
It'll come eventually.
Let's move on to our featured film, or rather, limited series discussion on Hawkeye.
And now, our feature presentation.
Marvel's Hawkeye.
Look, I know this may sound weird, but I've dreamed of this for as long as I can remember. My dad was fearless, and his whole life was about helping people. When I put that suit on, I thought, this is it. This is the moment I become who I'm supposed to be.
I remember the day I thought the same thing. You know, it comes with a price.
What does?
This life you want to live. To really help people, really try to help people anyway. Comes a lot of sacrifices. And some things you'll lose. Forever.
Well, there's also things you gain. Like trick arrows and a cool costume.
Spoilers ahead for Hawkeye. Let's read the description from Disney Plus. Marvel Studios' Hawkeye is an original new series set in post-blip New York City, where former Avenger Clint Barton, aka Hawkeye, has a seemingly simple mission: get back to his family for Christmas. But when a threat from his past shows up, Hawkeye reluctantly teams up with Kate Bishop, a 22-year-old skilled archer and his biggest fan, to unravel a criminal conspiracy. Released in 2021, directed by Rhys Thomas and Burton Birdie, starring Jeremy Renner, Hailee Steinfeld, Vera Farmiga, Fra Fee, Tony Dalton, Zahn McLaren, and others. So what does everybody think about Hawkeye?
Kate Bishop is amazing.
Kate Bishop is my favorite part of the show. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree. I'll start by... Okay, what I like... I like Kate Bishop a lot. Marvel has sort of overcompensated with their females by making them, like, super badass. We've talked about this a little bit. Like, they're super badass, do no wrong, sort of perfect, almost. Like, to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. Right? You have, like, Nebula, who's a little deeper, and I guess to an extent, Gamora. But even she's, like, clearly the most competent person on her entire team.
Right.
And, you know, they've always made it so that Natasha, Black Widow, was always, like, they had to make her super competent because she's not a superhero, but she's among superheroes. And, like, Captain Marvel, she's basically got no personality in her movie because she's such a competent badass. I like Kate Bishop because she's very much not a competent badass. She's very mm-hmm. doubtful of herself. She's very skilled,
yeah,
but also she's, like, new to this.
Yeah.
So, like, she kind of, like, fumbles and, like, trips over herself, and her plans don't always go the way that they, like, they allow her to be what, like, a lot of the men bit. What a lot of the men get to go through, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Peter true. Parker fucks up all the time, right? So she gets to fuck up.
Yeah,
she gets to be human, unlike
be a teenager too, because she's young, so
right. Which I like that a lot. She feels more real to me than Captain Marvel, or
yes, more relatable,
right?
In that sense too, right. I agree with that.
So I like her a lot. I feel kind of the same about Yelena, who shows up later in the series.
Yelena's best.
Well, she's super confident and badass as well, but because
she's got a little bit of a,
she's so sheltered that, like, she's strange. She's got a strange personality.
I felt like she had, like, a ring of, like, arrogance to her, but it was also, she was a little bit playful too, And I liked that. I felt like it was a little bit different than Kate Bishop. I think that one of my favorite scene
Kate Bishop
in the whole show is when she goes into her apartment and she's like trying to get her to let her make mac and cheese. It's so funny. That banter and like the two of them are interacting was for sure my favorite part of the whole show.
Stop making me like you.
Yeah.
It's my favorite line. Stop making me like you. They're going to be best friends. They're going to be best friends by the end of the MCU. They're going to be best friends. But I also like Kate's relationship with Clint. I think that it works. Mm-mm,
don't like it.
You don't like their relationship? I like that. I don't like he's that. Like the grizzled, like grumpy one. And she's like the young, like up and coming, like fanboy one who looks up to him. And they have to learn to like accept each other. I feel like they balance each other.
I'm not saying that anything happened in the show that made me uncomfortable, but I feel like in 2021, like, why are we putting a grown man with, like, a teenage girl?
She's 22, first of all.
Well, a young girl.
There's nothing there between them in that element. He's trying to get back to his wife. I know. That's the main plot.
I just said there was nothing. I don't know. It's just not... It's just the I don't know. If
Peter
Parker's
meant to be 16 and he's hanging out with 50-something-year-old Tony Stark.
If I was going to make a Hawkeye show and it was going to be about a new Hawkeye, I mean, I guess it makes sense for him to be paired up with her. So I get it. I just don't, like, the dynamic is just not my favorite. I wish it would have been Yelena the whole time.
Well, the point is to get more from Clint.
So I don't... I like Kate Bishop, too. I think that, like you said, like, I think she's good. And I do think she gets to do a lot of the stuff that the other guys... That the other Avengers have done and stuff. And that is something that we don't get to see from, like, a young female perspective. So that's cool. And I like her as an actress. But I have to say, there was something about the whole show that kind of missed the mark for me, I think.
Yeah, missed the mark.
I think I said that when we were watching it. And you said the same thing.
Like a bow and arrow. Like you.
I know. I think even with Loki, I enjoyed watching Loki a little bit more. This one just kind of started off a little slow for me in my opinion again. And I get why. Like, every time I watch an episode and, like, only so much happens, like, I understand why. But I don't know. It's just, if you're only going to give me 6 episodes, it feels like half a season. You know, it feels, I want the other 6 before I can, like, really judge the show. And Loki kind of left me feeling the same way. Wanda, especially when WandaVision starts and finishes. Like, WandaVision, that's it. That doesn't feel like they're gonna keep going with it, and they don't necessarily need to. Like, they told a story, and, like, if they wanted to evolve on the character, which they are going to, they can. But I feel like with these shows, like, they kind of feel like they are meant to be just, like, well, I mean, I guess Loki in this feels like it's meant to be the beginning of it. But I feel like it should be able to do both. And I don't feel like... And, like, Falcon also did both. Because it told its story. But then it can continue, which it's going to. He's going to be... You know, they're going to do a movie or whatever. And I feel like it could have gone either way, though. They could have done it and not had any more to the story. And it would have been fine. So I think that's what Loki and Hawkeye kind of both lack for me. I wish that they had told, like, the story that they had told had kind of wrapped up a little bit more neatly.
Yeah. Maybe a little.
Or at least have had, like even with Loki, like, how many episodes was Loki?
6, same as this.
6, okay. So both of these shows could have done a lot with having 8 episodes.
Okay.
And I think for Loki... Kang the Conqueror.
Okay.
I wish that he would have been introduced maybe 1 or 2 episodes sooner, given me 2 more episodes, and not necessarily gotten rid of the character altogether, but instead of at the end them having that, like, you know, like the base cliffhanger.
The statues.
I wish that he would have dealt with Kang the Conqueror in his own way. Maybe have it where he kind of like tricked him in, and then Loki thinks that everything is fine. And then when he goes back to the place, the TVA, everything's normal. And then you do like a cutaway scene, just like you did in Wanda, where it's like everything's not normal. Uh-huh. And then with this, I wish that fucking Fisk was in.
We'll talk about Fisk.
Was in more than episodes. One episode, two more episodes, you know, they could have started the confrontation with him, and then he could have had a couple more episodes to basically show how badass he is, because how do you take this character that literally was so crazy and, like, literally, like, one of the biggest villains, and I would argue one of the most, like, the scariest villains to have in another show, and then he comes over here and he fucking gets taken out in like
one episode,
30 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't know. I just feel like if they had both of the shows could have, like, if the storylines had started and stopped in a way and then had a little bit more episode, a little bit more content, then I would have been happier with them.
I've heard people say that they thought Hawkeye should have just been a movie.
Yeah, I think they could have gotten away with it just being a movie for sure.
I guess what you gain from making it a series is the character growth between the characters. You get Clint and Kate, and then Kate and Yelena, sort of. That's kind of the what you gain from making it longer. They get to spend more time together, and you kind of get to dive into them. A little bit more. I kind of like that. Basically, everything that happens is sort of all Kate's fault.
Yeah.
It's basically all Kate's fault. And Hawkeye has to come in and clean up her mess. But, like, he also feels responsible for it because he caused all the mess during the blip. Like, he's the one who went around knocking off mob organizations.
Really, like, he doesn't really have to answer for his demons, though. Even, like, in regards to Echo, he kind of just goes there and tells her, like, yeah, I know I killed your dad, but you know who wanted your dad dead? Like, I don't know. He doesn't get any comeuppance for, like, what he did. I feel like they really just brush it off, and it's, like, there's a little bit of an underlying tone in that, especially with, like, Yelena, and she says, you know, she says to Kate, which Yelena didn't know that he was... Did she know that he was...
Ronan? I don't think she cared.
Oh, well, you know, she does, there's something that she thinks he did that he didn't even do. She thinks that he killed her sister, which he didn't do. You know, she did that all on her own. And she's like, you're literally holding him up on a pedestal. And I feel like the whole MCU is kind of doing that because he did kill a lot of fucking people when he was Ronan. And he didn't have to answer. Sure, but he didn't have to answer for that. He's a vigilante, you know?
Like, he had to answer for that by losing, like, Natasha and having to live with it.
All of them, all the other ones, they're all like, no killing. Like,
they kill people all the time. What are you talking about, no killing? They always kill people.
Isn't there one episode where Cap's like, I don't want you to kill anybody? Oh. Not episode, movie? No?
I don't think so.
Oh. I thought that he did say that.
They kill people all the fucking time.
Whatever.
They have no regard for...
The point is, I feel like he is held up, like, she's looking at him with rose-colored glasses, and I feel like
he's trying to tell her
show
not
never
to.
Really gives him any comeuppance. In fact, at the end, he gets everything he wants. He gets back home for Christmas with his kids. Like,
I don't think
he doesn't have to answer for anything that he did.
He gets his ass kicked. He's deaf. He's deaf in one ear.
I guess. That's not necessarily, like, his comeuppance, though. I don't know. I feel like he got away with murder, literally.
I guess, but
and there's nothing.
So did fucking John Walker. He got away with murder.
Yeah.
He gets to still parade around as whatever he is.
But he's not, like, meant to be, like, a likable character. He's meant to be, like, a...
He was meant to be the asshole everybody hated.
Yeah. I feel that. Like, I feel like he was. And I don't think people like him.
No.
But, like,
no.
Hawkeye is...
You're supposed to like him.
Yeah. And I wish that they, I thought that with Loki and the show, they were going to dive deeper into some, like, some different other emotional issues, and, like, they could have delved into grief, and I just don't think that it did that enough for me, personally. I love the scene with him and Yelena at the end, when she's, like, kicking his ass.
And he does and the whistle.
And she's, like, super upset, and you can tell that this is, like, all the pain that she has in her heart, because she misses her sister, and I like that she can take it out on somebody, and he's basically, like, her punching bag, and he's trying to, you know, because, I mean, he didn't kill her, so he didn't necessarily deserve that, but yeah, so I think that that's how I feel about it.
I like the scene where he's at the tower, and they have that, like, plaque that says, like, this is where the Avengers first, you know, saved the planet or whatever, and it has all the names on it. And he's talking, he turns his hearing aid off, and he, like, talks to Nat. It's a very short scene, and, like, I felt like it could have been a little bit longer. But I liked that. I liked that moment a lot. I agree that it could have dove into grief a little bit more, but WandaVision is also about grief.
I mean, yeah, I suppose.
But I mean, every single one of these characters is grieving. Like, that is something they all have in common. Clint is grieving for Nat. Yelena is grieving for Nat. Kate lost her dad, and, Echo lost her dad. Mm-hmm. So I suppose they could have dove into it a little bit more. The one thing that I liked about the show, like, right off the bat, I really like how it opens. I love that it shows Kate as a child, and, you know, it introduces her to her home life. You introduce her to her dad, and you get the sense that she really looks up to her dad in those few minutes that you spend with her. And then it shows the attack from the first Avengers movie, the 2012 mm-hmm. attack, where Loki comes with the Chitauri or whatever, and is, like, attacking, and her house gets, like, blown up. And the very first thing she sees is Hawkeye jumping off a building, like, shooting aliens. And, like, that's how she decides she wants to live the rest of her life, is because she saw this one guy do this one cool thing. I love that setup. I think that's a great... Because, like, imagine that. Imagine you're being attacked by aliens and you see one dude, like, fighting all the aliens. You would look up to that dude, too. I think the way they start the show is really, really fantastic. So that was something that I liked right off the bat. And then we're introduced to Clint as he's watching Rogers the Musical, my favorite thing in the whole wide world.
There was a meme I was gonna send you guys, because I know Carissa would have loved it, that was Rogers the Musical, and it was the Thor and the Cap character, and it was like, I'm gonna tell my kids this is Rogers and Hammerstein. It was fucking hella funny. Oh my god,
that is funny.
I love the Rogers the Musical, because it's so funny, because, like, we as people make musicals and shit about historical events.
Yeah,
if superheroes existed, right, somebody would eventually make something like musical, this, yeah, about that event, whether it's a musical, yeah, or whether it's just a movie. Like, eventually, like, in the context of this universe where superheroes are real, there would eventually be a movie about the Avengers saving the world. They just happen to turn it into a really corny Broadway show, and I think that's so funny. I love all their just casual outfits. I think it's so funny.
Funny.
It's so funny. And all I'm saying is that California Adventure has a gigantic empty theater right next to Avengers Campus.
Somebody write it.
Just add another 20 minutes to the show and put it in the Hyperion Theater.
What I like is that there's posters for Rogers the Musical and other movies and stuff.
There's one in Spider-Man, right?
In Spider-Man, and I think there's one in one of the other shows, but I don't remember which one.
Well, the whole thing going around right now is, like, at the end of Spider-Man, spoilers, I guess, for the end of Spider-Man No Way Home, when we see Peter leave his new apartment, like, he swings out of the window, he swings right over Rockefeller Center, where the giant tree is that falls down at the end of Hawkeye. So he lives right by where that battle went. Yeah. So, like, all the memes are like, why didn't Spider-Man just hop out of his apartment? Because the tree is standing up. So Spider-Man had to have taken place, like, a few days before Hawkeye ends. So, like, where was Peter during all this? But yes, there is a poster for Rogers the Musical in Spider-Man. I didn't see it, but I've seen pictures people have posted.
I want to say it's in the beginning when he's swinging MJ.
Maybe.
I think I saw it, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much stuff. It's New York. There's so many posters everywhere. I don't know where to look. And you said it's in something else? Is it in Doctor Strange? Or?
I thought it was in another one.
I haven't seen it anywhere else.
It might have only been...
But yeah, I don't know. I like Clint. I like him fine. I wish...
I don't know. Yeah, I could take him or leave him.
Oh, it's seen twice in Spider-Man. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's they're both while he's swinging in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, that's cool. It's clear to me with Clint, right? I feel like they didn't have a character for him when this franchise started. Because, like, in the first Avengers movie, he's taken over by Loki for most of it. And he just kind of shows up at the end. And, like, he says a few quips. And, like, that's it. He doesn't really have much of a personality. And for whatever reason, in Age of Ultron, they decided his personality is going to be... He's the old man of the group. He's got a family. He feels, like, protective of them. Of the Avengers, for whatever reason. And, like, that's kind of just how they've stuck with it ever since. He's an angsty old man. And, like, that's his entire personality. He is old man. He's sick of this shit. He regrets his past. He tells Kate, like, I'm no hero. You don't want to look up to me. You know, being a hero comes with baggage. I've got too much baggage. Go home.
Mm-hmm.
And then she never goes home, and he's just like, ugh, I guess. Fine. We'll fight together. If we must.
Basically.
I'll help you turn your mom in. But yeah, I don't know. I like Clint. Maya. Let's talk about Maya. I think Maya's cool. I think it's cool that they have a deaf character.
I think that's really cool.
She's played by a deaf actress. That actress
that's awesome.
Is really deaf.
And then the little girl version of her, I believe, is too.
I believe that's also true. The actress who played the...
Little girl as a child.
Is deaf as well. The scenes with her and her dad are all very sweet. And it's very sad when he dies, even though you've only just met this character.
Right.
But yeah, I think she's super badass. I love the scene where she's like trying to sign with Clint because he's got his hearing aid.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in the episode, she like smashes his hearing aid because it's like, well, I've learned to live with my disability. You need to learn to live with yours. Let's fight, you know, how we really are. Like, you don't need that technology to save you. I love that. I like Maya a lot.
I see why they gave her a shell.
I'm fascinated to see how that works because like she's deaf. She doesn't speak. How is that show going to work? Like, is the general audience ready for a show with a mostly silent protagonist?
I hope so. I think so.
I assume they'll give her a sidekick who will talk for her, but
not that guy.
It won't be this guy because he's
dead. I hope
dead.
It's not the guy. Yeah.
He's dead.
Kazi?
Yeah, he gets killed. Kazi?
She killed him, right?
Or he killed himself? I couldn't tell.
It kind of seemed like he killed himself.
Because they have that...
It's a bummer, because I would have liked him to be in the show. Is the show going to take place after this?
I would assume.
I think so, because I think it's... Not that we know entirely what happens to Fisk, but I think it's supposed to take place around that. Mm. Like, her vengeance on him.
Well, because the show ends with her... kind of moral ambiguity, because like she's not working for the mob anymore, I guess, because she turns on the mob,
right?
So like they're gonna want her to be at least sort of heroic, so I would assume it takes place after this, because during this, for most of it, she's one of the villains. So Kazi's, I don't know, like that scene is confusing because like they're fighting.
It is confusing.
They're fighting.
Well, I think it makes sense if he did take his life, because he says to her, if you don't get me, he's going to get me. Like, so he's like, I'm going to die either way. And then him killing himself is like him taking the stain off of her.
Right. You know? But when it happens, they're fighting. So like, I couldn't tell if she's the one who stabs him or if he stabbed himself. To me, it looked like it was implied that he stabbed himself.
I think it was too.
But because of the way she was also holding on to his hands or whatever, it looks like she could have also potentially stabbed him.
Yeah.
I think it was him, because I think they're going to want to, like, free her from that. They're not going to want that on her chest. But yeah, I liked Maya. I thought she was cool. I love the tracksuit mafia is so funny. About them is just so funny. The way they talk, the conversation that Kate has with the guy about the Imagine Dragons tickets. She's like, well, at least you don't have to see Imagine Dragons anymore. I love Imagine Dragons.
So funny.
And the resolution of that is they go to see Maroon 5 instead. Oh, that's so... The tracksuit mafia is so funny.
It is funny.
Kate. Yeah, I like the tracksuit mafia.
Kate Bishop! Trust a Bro Moving Co. That's very funny.
It is funny. Yeah, everything with them is funny and clever, and I like that.
Don't worry. No one knows who I am or where I live. Get out here, Kate Bishop!
Except my name is on the doorbell. That's what I'm saying. Like, Kate keeps getting them deeper and deeper, and Clint's just gotta deal with it.
Or, like, when he's, like, trying to talk to Maya and basically tell her that Ronan's dead and Kate just falls through the ceiling. It's like, come on, bro. Like, not only are you fucking it up, you got the worst timing ever. Like,
I was trying to tell him I don't know who Kate Bishop is, and then you literally fell through the ceiling. Like, that's great. That whole scene in there is super... That fight scene is super badass. And I love the car chase. The car chase is so cool. When they're, like, panning... The camera's, like, panning all around. So you see every angle of, like, the car. Like, they're seeing it. But it never leaves the inside of the car.
Yeah.
That whole scene is super cool.
The car scene, I think, is one of my favorite scenes. Just as a car guy, you know. Because he makes it a point to take that old shitty car. Because he's like, we don't want to hurt the Charger. The fucking Charger gets destroyed anyway.
The Challenger, right? It's a Challenger.
Was it a Challenger? I think it was a Challenger or Charger. It was one of my cars.
I think it's a Challenger because he says at the end, and the Challenger gets totaled anyway.
Yeah.
Which is pretty
funny. I thought that was hella funny.
Which is pretty funny. Although at the end of that scene, she fires the arrow, and then he fires the, like, Pym arrow at it to, like, make the arrow ginormous, and we see the giant arrow in the sky. Like, what happens to that arrow? Does somebody gotta come pick that up? Like, is there just a giant arrow on the bridge? What's the deal there?
Yeah.
Oh, I also love... So, Kate Bishop's mom, Eleanor, who I guess is ultimately the villain of the show. That whole thing's a little strange. But the red herring of the show is her husband or her fiance, Jack Duquesne, who is just this kind of doofusy rich guy who she thinks is marrying her mom for, like, money or whatever. And then they do some digging and they find out that he is, like, has, like, a shell company which is being used to fund the tracksuit mafia, so they believe that he is in charge of, like, the tracksuit mafia. And then the whole reveal at the end is, like, actually no, Eleanor, Kate's mom, is the one working with Fisk to, like, control the mafia, and Jack was basically just getting framed. So, like, Jack turns out to really just be a doofus who loves swords, and I think that that is so funny.
I think that's funny, too.
I think his character is so funny because
they really make him out to be like a...
He's
like
the villain. Yeah. Like, he's the secret villain. Yeah. Like, at the end of the thing, you're gonna find out he's the smart guy with...
He's so, like, he's kind of corny. Like, you know, kind of like, he's like a character from Clue, like, in real life, That's what he makes me think of, and it's like, I love that he turned out to be nobody. Like, that is so funny.
And at the final fight scene, he's, like, in the streets, like, slashing guys up with swords, and Kate's like, I really misjudged you. I owe you an apology. It's really, really funny. I love the whole reveal with him, because, like, he really is just a doofus. Like, he's just a doofus who loves swords.
I like how he's still trying to talk to her mom, even though she put him in jail. Yeah. Like,
he's like, it's okay, sweetie. I would have done the same thing. And, like, the next scene, they're, like, after he gets out of jail, they're still, like, going places together. Yeah. It's like, when you've dumped this woman, she called the cops on you because she thought you were the head of a mob.
And technically, wasn't the Wasn't the dude that she murdered, isn't that like his uncle?
Yes.
Yeah.
She murdered family.
So, he murdered his uncle and he's like, eh, it's whatever.
He's the doofus. That's what I'm saying. I thought his character was so funny by the end of it, because like you really do believe that he's
got something to do
with
something.
He's like responsible. Like, you don't trust him.
They play
him
up because they take him to he's in that auction.
Well, and they do the like fencing match where he like turns out to be better at like
He's just faking.
But really, he's really just trying to get to know his future daughter, or stepdaughter. Like, he really is just trying to be a good step. It's so funny. I think in the way they told that whole story was really funny. And speaking of things that I thought were pretty funny, I love the LARPers in this. Love what they did with the LARPers so much. Because, like, in the second episode, when Clint has to go get the Ronin suit from one of the LARPers, who turned out to be like a fireman who took it from Kate's apartment. And he's like rolling his eyes at it. He thinks this whole thing is like so dorky. He doesn't want to participate. He doesn't give them any information or whatever. And they have this really funny slow-mo scene where he's like walking through, like fake killing all the LARPers. And like they do their big scene with him and what's his name? Grills. Grills is the LARPer. And I love that at the end of it, Clint was like, Grills is like, you did have fun though, right? And Clint was like, yeah, I don't regret doing it. And any other show would have made the LARPers like the punchline, right? Because it's this big dorky thing. Like, oh, look at these dorks. They're pretending to be heroes. They're pretending to be like knights in their backyard.
I wouldn't say any other show. I think that nowadays we've moved past that. So probably years ago,
you could say. Sure. But this show even kind of leads you to believe that that's how it's going to be because of Clint's attitude towards him. Yeah. But I love that Clint, by the end of that scene, he's already come around. And the LARPers stick around throughout the rest of the show and kind of become their, like, base of operations. Like, they go to their house and, like, plan their attack. And they, like, make them new suits. And they help in the final, like, confrontation. They're, like, in the...
They go and get their own suits and everything and come out and start leading people around.
They're, like... They're doing like all the spy work inside the building. I love the stuff with the LARPers so much. I think that it's
the LARPers great. Like the LARPers as a whole remind me a lot of the hell are they called? The Brothers Three or whatever? The guys from Thor.
Oh, the Warriors Three.
Warriors Three.
Lady Sif.
They kind of remind me of that.
Lady Sif and the Warriors Three.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because they're also kind of big dorks.
Yeah.
But they're actual like heroic warriors.
Not gods, but they're from
I just like that, like, they start out as a punching bag and I'm like, really, the show's gonna go there? You're a fucking comic book movie. You like, you have no business to make fun of people for being dorks. Like, by the end of this series you're gonna be wearing a bright purple outfit. You have no business making fun of them. And they don't. It's not a joke. They take them seriously. They become friends. I think that's great. I love all the stuff with the LARPers so much.
I like the stuff with the LARPers, and like I could have seen LARPers coming at some point in time because they are kind of like they're decent in the comics and everything, but LARPing is more so like a Deadpool thing, so the fact that it came in with Hawkeye of all people is weird.
Well, I think they did it on purpose because Hawkeye's like, I don't have time for this. Like, I don't think this is cool, but yeah, like I said, by the end he's like, yeah, it was pretty fun. I think that's great. I love that. But I suppose we have to talk about the elephant in the room. Mr. Wilson Fisk, played by Vincent D'Onofrio, back from the Daredevil Netflix series, reprising his role as Fisk. He is the big bad that ultimately the whole series is looking up to. He is in charge of the tracksuits. He's in charge of the gang that they are after. He's working with Kate Bishop's mom to kill Clint, basically. She hires...
Yelena
to kill Clint on behalf of, I mean, I guess just to get her out of the way, to get him out of the way from hanging out with Kate, but like also, you know, Kingpin wants him dead. So, but it's all leading up to this. And then he ends up only being in one episode. And by the end of the episode, he is presumed dead.
Well, like Brady said, we don't know technically.
I'm not convinced that he's dead. We do not see him die.
Yeah.
If we do not see it, I don't
know. Yeah, I don't think he's dead.
I don't know that I believe it. It is implied because he's
been dead a couple times, I feel like. Daredevil has...
Well, they put him in prison.
Oh, right, right, right. What? But still, didn't he do something? I guess I don't remember.
Well, at the end, we see Maya hold the gun up to his head. We hear a gunshot, and we hear a big thud. My theory... I have multiple theories. One, something happens to where he...
could be in a coma.
Sure. It doesn't go all the way through because he's big and muscular. Yeah. Sure, that's maybe it. Maybe we have a multi...
get shot in the head and can live.
Yeah.
So.
And he's just like, he's playing dead until she leaves. I mean, I think that's possible. We have a multiverse now. Maybe that's not... maybe there's a different Fisk. Maybe we have a different Fisk. I don't want them to do that for everything. I don't need them to keep bringing back new different Lokis because the old Loki's dead. I don't want that. But maybe. We also have to remember that Skrulls are out there, and Skrulls take the form of other people.
That is true.
It is entirely possible that Fisk, that particular Fisk, was maybe a Skrull. Vincent D'Onofrio said in an interview that what happened was... he's claiming that Daredevil was canon, and this is the same version of the character, and what happened was when the blip happened, Kingpin disappeared, and he loses all of his power during the blip, and when he comes back, he's kind of starting from scratch, and that's why he's just in charge of this small-time mafia instead of, like, his
what
crime...
he was before.
Yeah. Which, I mean, is a decent theory. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that, but, like, they're never gonna address that. They're never gonna reference Daredevil.
They might.
Maybe.
I mean, he was in Spider-Man.
Maybe. But, yeah, I'm not convinced that he's dead. You don't bring him back just to kill him. I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think you bring him back just to kill him either. Especially because, like, I mean, I feel like they did it just for, like, shock value, because people like the character.
I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, end of episode one of Echo, we see him, like, in the hospital or something, and he, like, wakes up.
Yeah.
Or something of that nature. But I Vincent D'Onofrio as Fisk is so good. He jumped right back into it. Mm-hmm. He was just as scary in this. He beats the shit out of Kate.
Yeah.
She has no business being alive. Yeah. He beats the shit out of her. He gets blown up and just gets back up. He's terrifying. And, like, maybe he can't be as violent as he was in Daredevil, where he really beats the shit out of some people in that show. But he's scary in this, and I think he's great. And if they brought him back just for one episode, I think that's a huge wasted opportunity.
Yeah, I agree.
And I hope that he comes back. I think he will.
I think he will.
But I hope he does. But I kind of suspect he'll be the villain of the Maya show.
Like that would probably be, or if he isn't, he'll like wake up at the end or something.
Yeah,
you know, and then be.
I would like to see him come and be an actual Spider-Man bad guy, but I doubt that'll happen.
Oh, is that where he's from?
Spider-Man? Yeah, he's most commonly put up against Spider-Man and Daredevil.
Yeah, he's mostly with Spider-Man, Daredevil, and Bullseye.
Yeah, well, Bullseye is Daredevil.
Is Daredevil ever part of the Avengers?
Yeah, everybody's been part of the Avengers at some point.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But yes, Daredevil's been part of the Avengers. But he's often mostly associated with the Defenders.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. We watched that show.
But I mean, that could happen too if they bring... I mean, they've reintroduced Matt Murdock into the MCU. So if they decide they want to have another Daredevil show, he could show up for that as well.
Yeah.
Maybe retreading some ground, but I would love to see them go toe-to-toe again. So, I love all that. To me, the best parts are Kate Bishop and Yelena. Like, Yelena is an MVP. She's so great. I love Yelena so much.
She's my favorite.
She's as badass as Nat, but, like, she's got a whole different vibe.
Yeah,
She's more playful. She's like, she's just sillier. I love, like you said, the whole scene of her eating the macaroni and putting the hot sauce on it. You only have one fork? I'm one person.
I think one of my favorite scenes with them, because I know you keep talking about those two specifically together and how Kate is just such a major screw up and everything and how she always, you know, messes everything up. I think the scene of them jumping out of the building one after the other and Kate practically kills herself to do it is hilarious.
Well, yeah, because Yelena is a trained assassin and Kate Bishop is a college student.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, she's got some black belts and she's very good with a bow, but she is still a child, basically. Unlike Yelena, who has been speaking of Yelena, when they show her, like, get blipped, that scene is so good.
It is good.
That scene is so good, because they show her get blipped and then immediately come back. Like, they show it in real time, like, how we're supposed to believe that it happened. And as she comes back, the whole room, like, changes around her. The way they visualize that was so cool.
It was.
And they hadn't shown that yet.
No, they haven't.
They've shown people blip, and they've shown people come back from the blip, but they've never shown it...
from their perspective.
Right, in real time. Yeah, how it would have happened, how Yelena saw it happen. And she comes back, and she's in the same house, but it's completely painted differently, and, like, the same woman is there, but she's like, Yelena, what are you doing here? You disappeared 5 years ago. I thought that was great.
It is great.
I thought that was really cool how they handled that.
Mm-hmm.
And
even that made me so sad.
Oh, because she wanted to find Nat.
She's like, my sister. So sad.
I was sad. But I liked that they were continuing the Black Widow story where she was looking for the widows.
Yeah,
to change, to turn back. I thought that was good. A good moment for her character. But yeah, I'm glad I remembered that, because that was one of my favorite moments in the whole damn show, is that one 10 seconds.
Transition
scene. Yeah, it was so good the way they handled it. Other than that, the only thing I want to say is all the marketing for the show made me believe that that damn dog was going to be important, and he wasn't really that important. He was just kind of...
Yeah, I know, that makes me so sad.
Lucky the pizza dog.
He's just kind of there.
He's just kind of there, yeah. And not even that often.
No.
She saves him in the first episode, and that's like it. Sometimes he's there, sometimes he's not. Clint says we need to go feed the dog every once in a while. And then he goes to Christmas with...
He moves to Barton's farm.
Yeah, he goes to the farm. He makes it home for Christmas. That's the end. And I guess his wife is a agent.
Yeah, they're saying she's agent 19,
which is Mockingbird.
Yes.
Yeah. Who cares?
Which kind of does Bobby dirty, but
yes,
that show is canon, not canon, canon, not canon.
I'm so almost positive it's just not canon anymore.
It upsets me.
I'm mad that the watch seemed like it was something and it wasn't.
It was hers. They just didn't want people to know who she was or where she was.
What on the watch said her name and address?
Nothing, I guess. Like, they still had her name and they were writing down information about his whole family.
Yeah, exactly. Just really made you think it was going to be something and it wasn't.
I thought it was like Stark Tech, which also would have been boring because I'm so over Stark Tech. But like,
I thought it was going to have like some hidden message in it or something.
It did. It had the shield symbol, but that was it.
See, so it didn't even have her name on it.
No, it said Agent 19.
Yeah. Oh, it said Agent 19.
Yeah, which is her. But now we know she's an agent, which, I mean, doesn't really reveal that much.
It makes sense how they met.
Yeah, I guess that's it. That's how Clint meets all the important women in his life, through S.H.I.E.L.D.
Pretty much.
An organization he doesn't even like. He talks shit about S.H.I.E.L.D. the whole time. Like, they use me as a weapon. Like, I was just, that's what he keeps saying. Like, I was just sent to kill people. Like, that was it. It's like, okay, Clint. I mean, we know, but... Yeah, I don't know. Overall, I liked Hawkeye. I like the characters a lot. I do think it's maybe the weakest of them. It's between this and you're not going to like... Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It's between those ones. Those are the two that I feel like would most have benefited from just being movies.
Okay.
That's it. That's all.
Okay.
I feel like they maybe didn't need to be serious. But they were. Mm. And here we are. They kept referring to this as the series finale. Is there going to be season finale. Is there going to be more Hawkeye?
I think so. It was when they first announced them, if I remember correctly, they kept saying this was the one that was going to have potential to be more.
I
know Loki got announced for a season 2. Because it was so damn popular, but this one they kept saying was gonna be a chance at an actual series.
Well, you can tell the way they wrote Loki that there was gonna be more.
Well, Loki just felt like set up the entire time. Yeah. Anyway. But
You don't make a show that seemed like setup without planning on setting it up for something.
I know, but it felt like setup for like more, like
Yeah, it seemed like Phase 4 setup, not a Loki series setup.
Right. Mm.
It was setting up Spider-Man and
multiverse.
Yeah.
The multiverse and Kang. Ant-Man with Kang.
Right. Yeah. There's rumors that Kate Bishop's supposed to be in Ant-Man. And then, I mean, you could argue that Falcon and the Winter Soldier was just setting up Captain America 4 so that now Sam is Cap.
Right.
So that we have
him
in the MCU as Cap. But I'm just curious because, like, the show just, it didn't end the way I expected it to. I kind of didn't think they would kill Clint. I felt like they've wanted to kill Clint since Age of Ultron, and they just never did. I feel like somebody at Disney or Marvel, maybe even Kevin Feige himself, like, vetoed that. That whole movie, to me, feels like they're setting up killing Clint Barton. They introduce his family. He has more to do in that movie. They make him, like, a focal point.
Why do you think they're trying to kill him?
Because that seems like something they would do. Where they, like, the big emotional moment is that Clint dies, and now all of a sudden we have to appreciate Clint. We didn't appreciate him before, and now he's dead. Instead, they kill Pietro, who dies saving Clint. Clint's got a lot of people who died trying to save him. So I don't know about that, but I did expect it to end with Clint being like, I don't want to do this anymore. You're Hawkeye now. But instead, they're together still.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't, like, leave her.
Right.
Well, I mean, that could still be the case where he's just like, I don't want to do this anymore. You're a Hawkeye now. And I assume they're going to phase him out.
I think for like the beginning or something, I think he's going to be like the man in the chair, as Ned would say, or something, just like his mentor. Like, you know, Stark was always in Spider-Man's ear for the beginning.
Right.
Something like that. Like, not actually in battle, but
right.
Like, just helping out.
It was just the fact that they ended the show still together is the reason because I thought that it would end her,
or
she's just Hawkeye,
you know. Yeah. Or, you know, like, again, he can be like the man in the chair, but like with Laura, like she could go off fighting people or whatever and like need intel or whatever. And Hawkeye and Laura have that intel because they're S.H.I.E.L.D. agents or blah, 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 blah. You never know.
Right. My guess is if there is a Hawkeye season 2, the Hawkeye that the show is named after will be Kate Bishop instead of Clint Barton. And it will probably be her and Yelena. That would be my guess, that they will do a show where it's
mostly the two of them.
Mostly the two of them. And Clint will be there sometimes, but we don't want to pay Jeremy Renner too much because, you know, he costs a lot of money now and he's old. We don't leave him alone. Let him go make his rock album. So that's my thoughts on that. I just thought it was interesting that they kept calling it season finale because they didn't do that with WandaVision. They were like, no, this is the end. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, this is the end. We're just going to make a movie. We're going to announce Captain America 4 after this. Like, no more show, just a movie.
Right.
But this one, they're like, season finale. I don't know. We'll see. As far as I know, it was the least watched of the ones, but it still did, you know, good. So, we'll see. Anyway. I guess we'll wrap it up.
Yeah. That's all I got. I said my piece.
All right, well, Hawkeye, the Disney Plus original series, plus or bust, Brady.
It's a plus.
Yeah.
Hailee Steinfeld is a plus.
Yeah, I know you love Hailee Steinfeld. I know. Did you ever see Bumblebee? She's the main character in that.
I haven't. I want to see it just because of her. There's a lot of things that I want to see because of her, but it's like not my top interest. So it's like, do I really want to watch it?
She's also Spider-Gwen in Spider-Verse.
Yeah, see, I've seen that. I've seen this, and I've seen Pitch Perfect are, like, the main ones that I've seen her in, because they're all things I like.
Is that what she's from? Pitch Perfect?
She's from, like, she thing? Debuted yeah. in Pitch Perfect, or her big debut was Pitch Perfect 2.
The only other thing I can think of her from is, other than Spider-Verse, is Bumblebee. That's the only thing I can think of her from.
She's got an Apple Plus TV series.
Oh, who cares? Apple Plus, who cares?
Yeah.
Krissa, plus or bus?
I give it a plus still. Oh, okay. If only for Yelena.
Yeah. I don't know. There's baseline quality to all these shows. Well, Yelena's cool. She rules. No wonder she's going to be in the new Black Widow. She rules. I'm going to give it a plus
Black
as
Widow?
Well. Yeah, she'll be. Well, I mean, she is a Black Widow.
Oh. Thought you said
But she's replacing Nat.
Yeah, she'll be like the Black Widow in the MCU.
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Like, she's the Black Widow now. Whether they ever call her that or not. I mean, Clint does say, like, they've hired a Black Widow assassin to kill me. This just got real, real fast. That seems good, too. But yeah, I'm giving it a plus. I like it. I like the characters. I like the MCU. I just like the MCU. And speaking of the MCU, we need to decide what we are doing. Because Eternals comes out on Wednesday, but will we have time to watch it Wednesday and then record third? What do you work?
I don't know. I don't have my schedule yet.
When do you leave? Thursday.
Friday morning.
So we would have to record Thursday. We'd have to watch it Wednesday and record Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Can we do that, or should we do a random movie?
I would say let's do a random, because I'm not entirely sure I would have the time to watch it either.
Okay.
On Wednesday.
Okay. Well, not a Christmas random movie. Get rid of that.
Why not?
Oh, man. It's been so long since we've done this. I feel like I'm kind of scared of it. What? Well, you're going to... We'll have to... Delay it's Eternals 2 weeks then, because you'll be gone.
Well, I mean, what if I work on Monday or Tuesday? So, well, you can do it and pick a random movie, and just, I don't know. So it's just going to depend. But if I'm not on it or Brady's not on it, then it is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to be there for the Eternals, but
we'll everybody, figure it out. Random movie.
Everybody will be there for Eternals.
Okay.
Just Eternals will have to be after this one.
If you, okay. I mean, yeah, I was gonna say Eternals is the only movie that we have a specific day that it comes out. But if we get a random movie that you want to do, you'll have a week to watch it. I don't know. I'm scared. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That is a good one. We've talked about it before. I feel like we've made our opinions known about it.
No, we haven't talked about it in depth, though.
No, we haven't.
Well, what the fuck is it?
It is... It's a personal favorite of mine. It is Treasure Planet from 2002.
Oh, I'm so down. I am so down.
Treasure Planet. Make sure somebody tells Nikki.
I'll put it in the group.
Yeah, so Treasure Planet is our next movie. And then Eternals, when do you get back from your trip?
Monday.
Yeah. Oh, so we should have time. It depends on your schedule.
By the Thursday after that, we should for sure be able to do it.
Right. Well, we just have to be able to watch the movie and record before you leave, which we should be able to do.
We'll see if she gets it.
Okay, I won't say anything.
Brady sent a funny Treasure Planet gift to Nikki without explaining what it means.
Yeah,
literally just a gift.
Let her figure it out. She'll figure it out.
Okay, well, otherwise, in the meantime, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Plus Bus, a Disney podcast. If you liked it, be sure to leave us a review, 5 stars, follow, whatever it is you do on the various podcast apps. We would really appreciate it. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Plus or Bust. Join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/DisneyPlusOrBust. Send us an email, DisneyPlusOrBust@gmail.com. Any questions, comments, concerns, anything you would like to tell us? Were we wrong about Hawkeye? Is Fisk really dead? Are you Fisk? Let us know. Yeah,
I am.
All that stuff is in the description below. Otherwise, we will see you next week with Treasure Planet. My only parting words is Disney. Again, you have a big empty theater, California Adventure, either Rogers the Musical or Encanto. You just released two things that would fit perfectly in that theater. You're not doing anything with it currently. You got rid of the Frozen show. Rogers the Musical.
Thank God.
Rogers the Musical, Encanto.
I don't know if they really did get rid of Frozen. Maybe it's just that they don't have the people to...
They let all the people go and told them that it was done.
Yeah, well, it's done until they can bring it back.
It's done.
Oh.
No, it's done because it went Broadway.
That's also done, though. The Broadway show is done.
Oh.
Oh, good.
They canceled the Broadway show, too.
Oh, good.
After they did that episode of One Day at Disney or whatever, where they talked to the lady who played Anna on Broadway, and she was so happy to be playing Anna, and then they're like, just kidding, we're canceling your whole show. That's so mean. Disney, you suck. Anyway, Encanto or Rogers the Musical. Thanks, bye.
Bye.
Bye.